Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Welcome to another episode of Cobras and Fire, starring patients number 10 and 11, Elsie and Baco. Also, as a side note, I like worms. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with the inspiring Baco. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Inspiring. That's an inspiring introduction you gave me there. I feel I went from about a 7 to a 10 now.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought it was like 6 to midnight. No?
I do that by about halfway through the show. That's a different metric, though.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I wanted to give you some props. Not that I wish this upon you, but you've had quite a run at your job. You know, you haven't had to interview in a long time, but I wanted today for you to put something in your little memory bank.
Okay.
To use for a possible interview if you need it at some point. And that is when they say, like, give me an example of your leadership. And I think you should say, here's an example of my leadership. I inspired grown men to show up at 7 in the morning, go to my basement, and record the script that I put together for a Halloween episode back in 2022, and have this other guy
slap it on the table. Boom! Read that shit.
Exactly. So that's an example of leadership I think you could use in an interview.
Nice. I like that. That's a hot take.
Mm-hmm. That's all I got. So you've shown your power there.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and thank you to you, of course, and Gene Vogel and Andy Shaw and everybody for getting involved in the whole Halloween project. I think that it comes out a week after. We're talking about actually just dropping it right on Halloween. Anyway, if you follow our feed, we'll make sure you know when it comes out.
That's right.
Got a good one this year.
Another groundbreaking episode from the Cobras and Fire feed. Yes. But you've been a busy man during the weekends recording, and also you had a play date recently. If I understand,
I did. Yeah, something that set up by our overlords at Pantheon, Peter and Christian. Pantheon is sponsoring the whole Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets tour, So he's allowing basically any podcast that's wants to show up at one of these shows. So basically kind of like by proximity, we went to the Minneapolis show, for instance. And you know, because you don't live, you know, near, you weren't willing to make the 13-hour drive to be there with me. Gene Vogel kind of stepped in and helped me out. So basically, yeah, we set up a Cobras and Fire table at just next to the merch booth at the State Theater in Minneapolis. And I don't know, we interviewed, we ended up just mainly talking to people that came. Right away, it was kind of funny because people would just kind of stare at our table and see these two guys sitting there, you know, and it was at the early crowd was just the VIP. So it's only about 15 or 20. And supposedly a couple of those guys won through Pantheon, but they never came over and said hello. Huh. But once the actual crowd came in and you get the people that, you know, with the without the VIP money, they were more willing to talk, you know, so we had some fun. As we're recording, that is going live. That I just dropped that this morning. So it's it reminded me a lot of the Chipotle experience in the sense of I basically just largely hit record and you're hearing everything that we do right there. So the audio dips in and out based on how close we could get somebody to a microphone or, you know, that kind of stuff. But you can hear everything and it's pretty fun. There's a there was one hot take that I didn't get. A guy came up and he started complaining about Roger Waters. And so I asked him about this show. Has he seen this band before? Because they were here a couple years ago. And of course, almost everybody we talked to saw this same show 2 years ago across the street. Right. So a lot of return visitors. So that's encouraging. I was I'll touch on this in a minute. I was a little surprised at how many people were into this kind of thing. But I'll circle back to that. So this guy comes up and he's just making all, like, basically Pink Floyd for him is 68 to 72. Everything after that, just not even worth listening to. Not a damn thing that's any good. And I said, you don't think The Wall's any good? You know, I personally think The Wall's kind of a masterpiece. I know it's one of their biggest records, you know, and I know a diet, you know, that's like saying Destroyer is your favorite Kiss record. I'm not, I am a cursory Pink Floyd fan. I am not a deep diver. So, I'm familiar with their entire catalog. I've never cared for the kind of nursery rhymey stuff of the Syd Barrett era that I would largely saw this night. But I've always kind of enjoyed some of the trippiness and things of that nature. And they are kind of the only psychedelic band that made an impact, right? All the other big bands that you can kind of say that they only dabbled in it, like the Stones and the Doors and the Beatles, they all had some psychedelic music, but they weren't necessarily known as that. Pink Floyd really kind of kept that almost, well, I guess, I don't know if you could probably still enjoy it to Momentary Lapse of Reason and Division Bell, that kind of stuff. But that said, I realized, it dawned on me the day after that I probably shouldn't be that surprised that there's this many people, because there were people there into every fucking thing. They knew all the notes. The band, by the way, amazing. Just killer band. So you had Nick Mason, who, my God, I think he's 78 years old. Now, he's not doing Dave Lombardo fills here, but he still was spot on. Sounded
nice.
Sounded amazing. He's got the bass player in the band is the guy who replaced Roger Waters when they restarted, so he's been working with this guy for 35 years. And the guitar player was from Spandau Ballet, which I can't name a single song. I've heard of them, but they put on a very entertaining show, and it was really cool. But what the math that hit me the day after is that, like, if I went to, like, see a Peter Criss, if he went on tour and I went to see him, you know, I mean, I think Pink Floyd has sold 250 million albums. Kiss sold about 50. And then I'm like, so that's about 1 to 5. If I would see Peter Criss, it would be in a place that held about, you know, 20% of what this place did.
Right.
You know what I mean? So then I'm like, well, he put it like that. Yeah, of course. I mean, this guy was in one of the biggest bands of all time. You know, you really shouldn't be that surprised. But yeah, the median age I'm putting at like 60, 65, somewhere in that age.
Sure.
These people have been hanging with this band. That's just the median. We also saw a couple 20-somethings sitting next to us that knew everything, you know, and I didn't know anything, so I just sat and enjoyed the show. But anyway,
that's cool. Yeah, no, I think it's nice, the fact that Pantheon's putting I'm not sure they're just basically the promoters of this, right?
Yeah,
like your booth had Pantheon on it.
Yeah, they sent me a banner that I hung on the table. Someone from the State Theater actually brought us a table and a tablecloth. It was just fun, yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of do this kind of thing. It's kind of a new experiment for the show and just as a podcaster. I've done plenty of concerts with a photo pass and things like that, but this place didn't really have a proper photo pit, so even if I did want to shoot with my camera, it made more sense just to do it with my phone. They gave us amazing seats right off the aisle, right down the middle. This thing's going through October, I think, maybe into November a little bit. Still plenty of opportunity for anybody listening to, if there are shows coming near you, go to Pantheon. Podcast.com. Just look up Pantheon Podcast in Google. Go to the website. There's a link there to try to win tickets. So, and I know people have won because I got the notifications for our show.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a cool event. But when you have somebody that's like that hardcore into just that era, that would be like if I was a Kiss fan, but I only really like the Unmasked to Elder period. Just that 80 to 81 zone, and everything before it was terrible, and everything after it was just that only. Mm. But this is like Elder Fest for Pink Floyd fans, right?
Maybe.
Something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, you know what I mean? So there's always a zone that somebody locks into. But
a lot of Roger Waters hate, but I think that's largely pulled because of his politics.
Yeah, and because of his sense of melody.
And he's also a bit of a douche, as someone reported on the show. One thing they did that was surprisingly effective on a fairly cynical person like myself. You know, when a band comes to town they do like, you know, we love Minneapolis, you know, we always look forward to coming here, something like that. They actually kind of paused and like, when was it, like Nick would be like, when was the last time we were here? He's like, oh, it was actually 2 years ago, just across the street at the Orpheum. And Nick, you actually played here in 1988 at the Metrodome with Pink Floyd. And so, I was at that show, by the way. I think one of my first concerts ever. Motley Crue first, then that, and then the Rolling Stones. So those were my first three big shows.
That's a pretty good run.
And they had like an intermission, which is how Pink Floyd did it in 88. So I wonder if that's just something he carries on. There was no opening act, so they did like about an hour and 15 minutes, take a 20-minute break, come back. But it was during that 20-minute break that Nick did come out with the titty cam. And
I was waiting for this. Good. So he's committed. See, he's been inspired
too. Let me see. Last time I was at the Orpheum, I saw all sorts of titties.
Public enemy, but don't believe the hype. Tough guy like the one in Star 80 wanna bait me. Hook, line, sinker, now your lady wanna date me. Give your girl a little wink, so you make a big stink. Shoulders got a chip, so you flip like a tiddlywink. Know what I think? I think you might be Darn's missing link. Get all bit out of shape when the heat is on, just like a shrinky dink. But I can take a hint better than I can take a hit. Completely incompatible, though I'm a pussy and you're a dick. How can you hold a grudge when you can't even hold a job? Should've known better, but you're not going on the cob. I choose to use a song for a weapon, not a sword. Struck a chord. If I wanted to see stars, I watch Academy Awards. That's why I ran like flocking seagulls. Why makeup like Mary Kay? You must have given up on hair plugs, cause now you're going to pay.
All in all, you're just another dick with no balls. All in all, you're just another dick with no balls.
Did you or Gene ever like dare each other to yell out "Play Comfortably Numb"?
No. We read the room. I was really kind of hoping this would die down, but we got to keep the listeners informed. There is more talk on the Van Halen reunion thing. This time coming from Wolfgang Van Halen, who at last check-in for us basically said, "All you old fucks need to give it up and stop bothering me about this," even though he wasn't being bothered. It was just Eddie Trunk sharing his personal opinion and not mentioning Wolf or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking to Classic Rock magazine. He basically kind of said that, you know, doing the thing with the Foo Fighters kind of helped him in a way pay tribute to his father and kind of get a little of that out of his own system. So apparently part of it, you know, part of him does want to do something like that. And I think he's kind of walked the line back and forth between leave me alone to I'm not the one holding it up, that kind of stuff. But he said, so his quote was, I think I already did it, you know, an Eddie Van Halen tribute with the Taylor Hawkins tributes. I feel a lot of closure because of the my part of the show was a tribute to my father as well. When it comes to Van Halen and the entities surrounding the band, it's unfortunate, certainly compared to Foo Fighters who have their shit together with interpersonal relationships. I don't know what is going on, what it is with some bands, but certain personalities just can't get over themselves to work collectively for one purpose. That's been the curse of Van Halen for its entire career. That's the nuts and bolts of it. Now, I happen to personally agree with him, and I don't have the insight that he would have. But, you know, as fans, we you know, see and hear things over the years. We follow these bands. You know, you and I have been listening to Van Halen for the better part of our lives. So I get it. Like I said, I'm not really pining for this. I'll support it if it comes, if they happen to put something together. But I don't necessarily feel my soul is missing it. But I don't know. It sounds like he's talking about David Lee Roth again. Maybe he's talking about his Uncle Al. I don't know.
I'm going to call my shot right now, and that's that. This tribute will never happen. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
I would lean
that's
on that
that's
too.
It. I mean, that's where I'd put my money on. That's where I'd place my bet on, because I mean, every single tour, all you got to know is anytime that they actually did go on tour, even with the, you know, David Lee Roth reunion, they ended up, you know, taking forever to do that. So, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and at least one start and stop prior to
that's
that.
That's what I mean.
And I think there might have been two.
Yeah. You'll always hear, like, the tour they went, when they toured on that album, different Kind of Truth, I think there was a start-stop of 3 years leading up to that. And then finally it kicked in. So that's at least my recollection. So I say it's never going to happen. And that was whenever, like he just described it. So we can keep talking about this. You're going to have random people that'll pop up and say their little thing of, yeah, I was asked too. I was asked. I was part of this too. This is how far it got to. But nothing will ever happen. It's much ado about nothing.
Yeah, I was actually just asked about a week ago, but I passed. have you been approached about doing it yet?
Not yet, but I'm sure I hope to read a headline of my own quote.
They're working their way down the list.
They really are. So that will be the last word. It's not going to happen. LC said it's not going to happen. The end. And then it's just done.
Yeah, that's the Blabbermouth headline. Yeah. Next week, LC says Van Halen tribute show never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that would be next level for us. If we got it to where they're quoting you or me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just, wow.
Right. We know somebody out there is listening to the show because we do get stuff published on there here and there. We aren't setting things out. So, but that would be great. Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
The thing is, though, is what picture would they use of me? I would be eating, I would be eating some sandwich or something like that, or have my mouth just like in the middle of a yawn.
You're in a witch toilet.
It's always a terrible picture. So,
yeah, maybe I don't want a Blabbermouth headline. That's a good point. Yeah. It'll be the shot of you, me, and Toomey with our hands in each other's butt pockets.
I'm fine with that one. That's it. Can't identify them. Just our asses.
There's ass experts out there that can, like, that's
true.
Definitively LC's butt.
Yeah, that's like the whole thing where they like use CGI to age people, like whatever pictures of John Lennon are out there. They can track down your ass.
Deep fake ass.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let me ask you this, because I kind of go back and forth on this topic. Sammy seems to talk about Eddie Van Halen quite a bit, and
yep.
But also I think Sammy gets asked a lot about it. I don't, you know, because everybody always likes to do that thing where it's like, they make the joke of like, yeah, what does Ted Nugent think? What does Corey Taylor think? You know, anytime there's a headline on Blabbermouth, somebody seems to throw that in the comments. And I'm curious, it's like, well, now with Corey Taylor especially, is he really just throwing shit into the universe, or is he just answering a question honestly or maybe a little more candidly than he needs to? Because to me, without the question, there is no answer, typically. Unless you are Ted Nugent, you have your own show, and you just go out
and make
all these things. But, you know, if you're interviewing Ted, you're going to ask him a handful of inflammatory questions if you're any good at your job.
Yeah.
So back to the Sammy thing. Do you want him to just basically have a no Van Halen talk rule, or should he just be given a pass when he does share his thoughts?
I mean, I guess you give him a bit of a pass. I mean, what else are you going to talk? There's no way that you can't ask him something about that.
That's what I think.
An interview. I mean, otherwise you're going to say like, hey, can we do a track by track of your new release Crazy Times? Nobody wants to do that, you know?
Nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah. So I don't hate it as much as you do. But and you had some love for that
whole
circle.
Record to hate it. I have not heard anything that was any good off it as all I was getting it.
It's interesting because your review of The Circle just 2 or 3 years ago was actually like somewhat positive, if I recall, his album. I don't think it's stood the test of time.
You know what? I did like the last studio release, right?
That's what I mean.
That live record was just ridiculous.
No, I agree.
Remember that didn't Chickenfoot release a greatest hits that was basically the first two records?
Yes. It was the first two albums and a bonus track for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Anyway.
Greatest hits.
It's just all of our songs.
Yeah.
More than Gene Simmons, he's an actual successful businessman outside of his music. Speaking of Gene, I'll just do a quick segue here because there isn't much to talk about. It's more of a no shit Sherlock kind of thing, but he made headlines recently when he said he has no friends.
Yeah, what was the actual quote though? Do you know that one? I think I could paraphrase it well enough.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of like this character that I think I've developed unintentionally over the years where essentially I just say that, you know, I'm like a, what do you call it? A social assassin or whatever. It's just like, hey, do you want to go hang out next Friday? No, don't really want to. Just, it's something that, like, oh, we can go to this place. Well, I'm not going to go because I don't like the food and I really don't enjoy your company. And it's nothing to do with me specifically. And so I'll probably be bored. So no, I'm not going to go. It was some kind of comment like that about hanging out. Did you read that part or not?
I did, is a couple weeks old. It's been sitting on our
yeah. It was essentially that. Like I don't, a lot of times I don't want to hang out. Like he's not, but I guess, you know, it is interesting though, because he is completely honest about the fact that he can't have small talk. He basically can have talk, but it's about him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he doesn't really want to, he doesn't really care about you specifically, unless it has to do with his business somehow. So if he's talking to Paul and that's his friend, it also has to do with KISS or stuff they're doing so he can exist that way. So yeah, nobody, just business partners.
It is an honest assessment, I suppose, in a certain sense. And I'm really, really been lately been thinking a lot about the last 20 years of my father's life and starting to appreciate some of his mentality of just not giving a fuck. And maybe that's where Gene is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You hit a certain point in life and you're like, I'm a grown man. I don't need to fucking deal with things I don't want to deal with anymore. And maybe he's had been fortunate enough to be able to do that his whole life, you know, because he only needed to rely on Paul Stanley to make money.
Mm-hmm. Like today, we're having another cul-de-sac party, and I'm going to have a lot of small talk with a lot of people that
sacks.
Have kids.
We call that a sack social here in St. Paul.
Yeah, sacks are having a sack social at 1 o'clock. We're featuring our backyard. We're going to have all the kids there, and I will have all kinds of conversations with people that are actually pretty nice people. We don't have that much common. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, are we – you know, what are we doing? At this point, if I was Gene Simmons, though, I'd just say, like, I'm going to stand here in the corner and not fucking talk to any of you people and cook this meat because I'm not going to use the effort. You know what I mean? Like, if you take that move, when is it – should I just amp this up and go to age 72? Should we start doing that?
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It sounds kind of it's almost sort of pleasant in a way. Although I'm a little more outgoing than you, I think. I don't know.
But what if you talk to somebody and they say something? What I mean by that is that there was a buddy that I asked, like, what are your things? Like, I asked stuff like this, and I say, like, are you into sports, music, TV? Are you this? And this only guy, the only thing this guy could say that his hobby besides working and taking care of his kids is biking. That's it. That's it. There's nothing. Like he seriously doesn't give a fuck about any kind of pop culture at all or sports or anything like that. Like at that point, you're kind of like, I guess we're not going to be able to talk about anything then, right?
That's a huge one for me. I got to tell you, because I know people that are very myopic in what they're able to or just willing to discuss. And it all revolves around things that they give a fuck about.
Right.
I'm a person that I don't think I'd be able to do this show if I wasn't able to talk to people about things that I don't know that much about.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to find the interest in hearing what they're saying, it's a much more productive way to get through a life. But, you know, do what you want to do. I don't really care. Funny story, though. I was at Menards yesterday and talk about, you know, first of all, being a traitor to my own code. As I get older and I turn more into my dad, or I say things to my wife like, oh, that's a cute dress, I just immediately start to shrink inside. Like, what's wrong with me? You're not this guy. So I was approaching an elevator, and there was a man good 10 years older than me, another solid white Midwestern man. And I made some, and it's we're on the second floor of a two-story building. So I made this sweet joke going down. Mm. And he says, well, you'd have to go, you'd have to die and hopefully get saved to go to heaven to go up. And now I'm stuck in an elevator with a guy who is super religious and told me the worst Bible joke I've ever heard in my life.
Let's hear it.
I can't remember. It involves first of all, I need to remember the actual scripture because the punchline is like Acts 3:28.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, and you're holding an axe and 3.28 rifles or something? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know guns. I don't remember, but it was just like, holy fuck, what the hell did I start? First of all, if I would have just stuck to my true self, I'm not talking to this fucking guy. I'm definitely not making that level of a dad joke to a stranger. And then I'm not exposed. I blame myself is all I'm getting at. He was a perfectly fine gentleman. We just, not someone I want to talk to at our next sack social. So,
or in an elevator at Menards.
Yeah.
By the way, when you started the show, I mean, when you started the story with something really funny happening at Menards, I'm all in. Anytime that's the intro to a story, I'm all in. And I say the always the punchline for any religious joke is always Corinthians, bitch.
I like that. I wish I could go back in time and just say, just as he's leaving the elevator, just say that.
Yeah, because that's the most interesting section is a four-syllable.
Corinthians.
Bitch. Come on. guess before we get into the next section, is there anybody else that you locked in a chicken coop you'd like to talk to about? Talk about?
That was a one and done situation with me. I was basically kicked out of the chicken coop locking in group after I basically I confessed and I told everybody else who did it.
That's good.
I would hope so, but actually, I'm pretty sure she just told on us.
Okay, fair enough. Just a little callback there. Thanks. What you got next?
We have another laptop controversy. So a couple episodes ago, I basically called out Black Veil Brides for not playing because their instruments didn't show up. And I was basically more than subtly hinted that what the instrument they needed most was a laptop because sure. Most of what you're hearing comes from that. Now, what I'm suggesting and what this story is claiming are two different things, and I'm going to call them both bullshit, by the way. I literally think backing vocals, some of the lead vocals, maybe all the lead vocals, some of the guitars, you are hearing all of that. I saw Baby Metal, and that was the first time I was like, there is not a fucking single note I'm hearing that's live. I don't even think that fucking drummer who's blasting away is being piped through the PA. He might be playing along to the track. But we aren't hearing him. We're hearing a fucking MP3 or wave or, you know, some kind of flack. So a band called Falling in Reverse, who I know because when they first started, it's the singer, a guy named Ronnie Radke, was in a band called Escape the Fate, which my stepdaughter enjoyed quite a bit. And
I actually
so,
got those two confused.
Yeah. So many of those names, I have to pause to
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. So
Falling in Reverse was apparently Ronnie Radke got kicked out because he went to jail and he blamed them. The whole first record is about him being pissed off at Escape the Fate. And I'm paraphrasing this based on conversations I had with my stepdaughter 10 years ago. Anyway, so I am actually somewhat familiar with these guys. I've seen them live at Warped Tour because she wanted to go see them. And my wife actually went to a club show of theirs with hers back in the day. So she's my wife's a Cursory fan, and they have a bit of a hot song right now on like your Octane kind of shows called Popular Monster. Anyway, the singer came out and just flat out said, yeah, our laptop was stolen and now we can't play this show. And Eddie Trunk, of course, you know, tore into him. Sebastian Bach got involved because he gets involved in everything now on Twitter. And him and Sebastian went back and forth. And I thought Sebastian kind of made... I think he made the most sense. Basically, the examples that Ronnie Radke used of Sebastian using backing tracks or pre-recorded stuff was the walk-on music. And I'm like, well, no one's fucking claiming the walk-on. You know, it's like you're playing something, and then you go, what's up, Milwaukee? And then the band kicks in, you know? But he had nothing of like... And a big defense was that, like, the song pop, he used that because it's our big song right now. He's like, we couldn't even play that because it's got rap parts in it. And first of all, have a second laptop. Have this shit backed up somewhere.
Six laptops, I think.
He keeps them all together?
I know. I don't get any of this stuff.
I mean, have a fucking plan for this specific thing if it's that important.
Right.
But here's a better idea. Have a workaround. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, while you're getting this stuff restored and rebuilt or whatever you need to do, have these little run of shows that are kind of unique and your fans get to see something that they're not going to get to see all the time, something a little different, but a way that if you guys can perform this music, you can come up with a way with a live band to perform rap music. It's been done.
Or so just done to that song.
Or they might have a problem there if it is a big track.
I get that.
Yeah. And Nikki Sixx got kind of dragged into this, but I the comment from Nikki Sixx was on an unrelated post. Eddie Trunk just posted an Aerosmith video and said, these guys are still great. I'm not word for word, but something along the lines of, these guys still have it, still great, and every damn note you hear is live. Mm-hmm. Didn't mention anything about anything else, but all this controversy, you know, is probably, you know, in the background somewhere on anybody that's following it. Right. So Nikki Sixx commented on that specific post with, you sound like an old, get off my lawn old man with all this technology stuff and all this stuff. And I actually commented to Nikki Sixx, but that coward hasn't responded to me personally.
Typical.
My comment was, really? Because when I read this and see your comment, it sounds like he fucking struck a nerve. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you think Aerosmith is what? You know, like, yeah, come on, man. Yeah, because, you know, we both think Motley Crue uses a lot of backing tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
first, it seems ridiculous. It's like somebody that says, like, if I lose this hardware, I can't do my show. That's, you know, it's all in the cloud, man. You don't have some way of having you, like, let's say it's your programming of your lights. You're telling me that you don't have that thing backed up somewhere where you can re-download the program on another device.
That's an area that I would totally embrace, cloud computing, something like that.
Exactly. Let's say you have that. Now, listen, I can go to a band as obscure as, like, you know, how I love the band names, Mustache. When I saw them live, they said they have a lot of songs, actually, that have some backing stuff where it's like keyboards or whatever. They fully made it. At the show, when I saw them at this small bar, they just go, listen, we don't have the setup for this, so some of these songs are going to sound a little bare at parts because we're just going to not have that stuff, but they normally have it. There, that's what I think of the stuff that you've lost. Like, you don't have those extra parts. Let's say you have a part in your song that's like a Bohemian Rhapsody, because I think that was used as an example in one of his rants. Of course, people know that exact part is not live. It's just something you can't recreate live. And I think people are fine with it. It's like this. It's like the keyboards that show up on Jump and Van Halen. They're all of a sudden they're there. There's no fucking keyboard. Okay, whatever. But I don't think that means that you have to stop the show. Is my point. You shouldn't. I don't think you should have to rely. You see, like, listen, our lights are going to be kind of lame tonight. We had our laptop stolen, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's where they go to. Is it's the whole programming of this, that, and the other. Unless it's like an essential part that you can't pull off your show at all.
That's where I'm getting. That's why this stuff is suspicious. It's like there was times that, like, we would do a show and I forgot to pack my wah-wah pedal, and there's a song of ours that it needs the wah.
Yeah.
And I played it without the wah. It wasn't as good. Didn't like it as much, but you know what? We just went through it. And the other option there would have been just to not play it, like you said. But again, I think with this being a hit for them, it might be a bit of an issue, but I still think there's a way to do it, man. I really do.
Well, about that, where I was getting to, too, is I've heard defenses of things like, oh, so you don't use a compressed mic and
yeah,
record
come on,
your
give
podcast.
Me a break, man.
Come on. Like, with, like, vocal effects and things like that. Like, if you actually have to cancel your live performance and reschedule based on the fact that some programs are lost, I don't think there's any way around calling bullshit on that for what you're normally seeing live. Yes, no.
I 100%.
That's not an old man. I want to make sure that this is, we say get off our long lot for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But that I think is a basic thing. You should be able to still say, like, we're going to do this. We're going to fucking do this. There are going to be some parts you're going to miss on this, guys. Well, let's rock out and have a good time tonight.
I think the old man get off my lawn, just what were we talking about last week that I thought was kind of lazy? The joke you had, about the living in your parents' basement kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think the get off my lawn old man thing is just a cheap cop out for the most part nowadays. Because, like you said, we use it on this show sometimes because sometimes it's appropriate. It's not appropriate anytime somebody calls out something that could be looked at as a generational thing, right? I'm not mad these people are using technology to create and record music, doing different effects and different sounds. But if you're telling me you can't perform as a band, you know, I would take this from a rapper before a band, but you guys all stand up there, you hold microphones, you play instruments, you supposedly are performing for me. If you can't fucking play these songs, then they're not very good songs. I mean, they're too dependent. Because I guarantee Eddie Van Halen could play Jump without the keyboard. He'd have something on guitar. You know what I mean? He'd probably whip it up in 5 minutes. Now, not everybody's Eddie Van Halen, but their songs aren't that complicated. They just come up with some kind of trick on the guitar, some kind of drum beat. Your drummer can't play a beat that you can rap over? I mean, that's fucking ridiculous. No. It's got to be a programmed drum machine for me to rap. No, I cannot have a stick hitting a skin. It throws off my flow. Throws my flow.
And I still won't take to the, oh, because all of our, because I know that again, I'm not a musician, but I know that there's a lot of programs that do the guitar tones automatically. Isn't that part of it too? Like it's fed through it to make that certain sound that you need for that song. Isn't that part of
I think they do use a lot of that kind of stuff, but that's a different topic altogether.
Okay, fine.
It ties into your point.
Even so,
fine. But yeah,
so, it's going to sound a little off. It's not in perfect tuning. You do it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you seen a band and the guitar shouldn't sound like the fucking thing you're hearing on the radio or on the CD or the vinyl or Spotify or whatever. It shouldn't fucking sound like that because it's not.
I'll tell you what. You listen, I'll say this right now. In 5 years, when we're doing our Cobras and Fire tour and we lose our laptops and our microphones, I'll tell you what, motherfuckers, if I got a payday coming up, I'm going to stand on stage with you, Baco, and I'm going to have a newspaper curled up like a little bugle, and I'll be shouting my ass off. I don't care if everything is lost. We're still doing our goddamn show. We'll call that Cobras and Fire Acoustic, whatever you call it. That fucking thing is getting there. I'm being paid in cash in full up front, just like, who's the guy? Chuck Berry. He's going to pay us extra, and we're taking that paycheck from you motherfuckers. We are not canceling because of laptops. And USB mics. My USB mic is gone. Fuck that. I'm yelling. This ties into the whole laptop stuff, too. And that is that I saw for the second year, within just 5 months of the show, I saw Local H again.
Wow.
come back to a place called Globe Hall. They're on their they were making up their Lifers tour earlier this year that kept getting canceled with COVID. Now they're celebrating the 20th anniversary of an album called Here Comes a Zoo, which came out right after Pack Up the Cats. And they're playing this one in, we're playing the album in full, but here's why they did it. And I'll tell you why it goes into the laptop thing is they did this. And I think this is cool when bands do this. Cause I remember when Motley did this actually, for their Carnival of Sins. And that is, they basically opened for themselves. They played two sets, but what they did is they played like a 45 minute set in the beginning of kind of like hits.
Okay.
And then the second one was the whole album. Plus.
So is the first 45 minutes just copacetic on repeat?
Yeah, I know. Pop fan favorites. Let's say way.
Yeah, I'm being a dick.
Yeah, no, I know. The main thing of it, tell you this, is that they had, now for those that aren't aware, Local H is a two-person band, drummer and guitar / bassist, okay, in one. And these motherfuckers, because this album I think is a little more complex, they had a third guy on stage. And I even thought, like old man, like, you can't have a third guy playing live and playing some backup bass and things like that. He would come out every once in a while, this kind of odd.
Backup
bassist, and he'd play some gang vocals and they'd run off. He'd scurry off. And I was like, oh, you guys are cheating adding that third guy on stage.
But we always hit our backup bass player off stage.
That's right. You need to have him playing bass lines off.
People knowing that we got two people playing bass.
Exactly. This guy kept coming on stage. But in short, another smoking live performance. Left there feeling euphoric as I have. But the reason I brought that up too is there a band that you can think of? I couldn't think of any time I've seen a band even back in the day within 5 or 6 months or twice in the same year. Have you?
Sure, Kiss on the Hot in the Shade tour. They played Minnesota twice in about a 5-6 month period.
Really?
Yeah, and I saw both shows, so that was kind of weird. Anybody else, maybe lower level? I'm trying to think here. Yeah, well, local level bands, definitely.
Sure.
I probably saw Flip 6 times in a year once.
Okay, you got me there then.
But that's not really the same thing. Whatever. That's pretty cool.
Did you see Wilson or Boba Flex like twice?
Yeah. Are we counting opening acts? Because I saw Seven Dust and Coal Chamber open for 4 different bands in 2 years. And then also on top of that, saw them at Ozfest. So I probably saw those two bands together at the same show 5 times in about a 2 year period.
Okay.
But they weren't the headliner at any of the shows. They were just a common two-step opening, act to whoever they were with. I don't even remember.
So I'll end this segment with just saying they're on tour until the end of this year. So if they're coming to your town, I've pimped them plenty of times. The thing that was unique, though, is that I think maybe 5 songs were the same within those 2 shows that I saw.
That's pretty cool. Because I know you're a big fan. You're starting to come out of your shell and admit that. And you know what? let's pimp the ACLC Local H episode from about a year ago. Yeah, I think it's a pretty in-depth show for anybody that wants to be, exposed to some local age.
All right, let's get to the headliner.
Well, I'm going
to
hit you with something here that it just reminded me real quick. You're on the Sly Dog podcast coming up here.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, so I got...
I assume you disparage me quite a bit because you hid this from me.
No, I just oh, I hid it. Yes, that's right. I'm seeing... I've only said that. I only see 2 other men. You see, you're like on a gangbang.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm looking forward to hearing it. What did you guys talk about again? I saw Alex's post, but the episode's not out right now.
It was Alice Cooper.
There we go.
Yeah, it was Alice Cooper, like top 5 deep track and just like overview kind of deal. And he must have taken our cred from back in the day, one of our earlier episodes of doing a 5-episode discography with you, myself, and Haney back in, 2016, maybe? 15?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But anyway, I look forward to that. Good for you.
Yeah, I'll definitely share it in the group. So yeah, and have you done any? You're doing the slobber knockers. You're doing any? Have you been doing seeing some other men behind my back too?
Not behind your back. We all got together yesterday. Although I feel bad. I think I should have dialed you up on like video call for the breakfast we all went out for.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Well, if you did, you would have seen me snoring.
Oh, because
I went right back. I went right back to bed.
Jesus Christ! Everything going out to eat is such a fucking expense now. Holy fuck, God.
What do you mean? Was it $20 for breakfast? What, 25?
Yeah, basically. It had an omelet and a cup of coffee. Although the omelet was so big, I got half. I basically have breakfast for today, if you look at it that way. It's a little more affordable. Breakfast for me, though, I like fancy breakfast if it's a weekend and it's something special, but in general, I just have eggs, hash brown toast. That's really all. And I want it to be about $6.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to find that out the
no,
wild.
No, not really.
No, but I will say for going out for breakfast, when you go out for breakfast at our age, when we are men of a certain age, I think you're skipping lunch. I think you don't really need lunch when you're the breakfast that you
100%.
Get out.
I didn't eat until we had dinner last night about 7:30. So I had breakfast when we were done yesterday. So around 9:30.
That's what I'm saying. Like the breakfast they give you out in the wild are some fucking like just amazing. There's no reason for that lunch to even hit you.
Yeah,
that's a tip for the men of a certain age.
yeah, how is it for you? Like, cause during the work week, like I'll have a banana or maybe some yogurt.
Yeah,
and then that'll be it until lunch. You know, but
basically
on the weekends, I don't remember the last time I had lunch on a weekend. The only time I do is when I don't eat breakfast.
See. There you go.
Although it drives you crazy when we're Rockin' Pot and I have a big breakfast and don't eat till midnight.
Well, it's because you don't eat dinner. I do need dinner.
I do. I just eat it at midnight.
Yeah, try it on an elevator.
Michael Sweet fucking grabbing at my Cobb salad.
That's right. Get your own arugula.
Yeah.
Fucking striper.
Anyway.
All right. You got your headliner?
Yeah, so there's a rumor out now that Motley Crue, because I do know Motley Crue said they're going to keep going now. Mm-hmm. That John 5 is going to replace the aging Mick Mars. It sounds like age is the only reason. I haven't heard anything official other than that Rob Zombie did announce a replacement guitarist for John 5. But then I saw a second article that said it was a replacement for a show. It kind of intimated that we don't know how permanent this is. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of scuttlebutt going back and forth. But I don't know. This is kind of a big deal. The obvious question is like, well, who's going to replace Vince? Because I think that's the weak link.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see that one. I saw the Rob Zombie one, and I like the investigative journalism too that says, and also what really backs up this is that John 5 no longer follows Rob Zombie, and Rob Zombie no longer follows John 5. So they've separated themselves
from
all
social.
That is just
a crazy part of the reality of the world, isn't it?
Right.
It happens in sports all the time. You know, like some high-end athlete is pissed off at his team because he scrubbed his social of any reference to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't follow the Arizona Cardinals anymore. Is Kyler Murray happy? It's like, God damn, man. You know, I don't even fucking... it takes a lot for me to unfriend somebody.
Right.
Basically, if I'm ready to unfriend you, I'll just block you. But
sure.
I unfollow people. But it'll still show us because I'm covert, man. I'm sneaky.
Yeah, I think that...
Meanwhile, did Nikki Stick start following John 5?
I didn't see that part.
Or did he follow his Kiss specific Instagram page?
Yeah, I don't know. What I can say also is that I wish that wasn't the case because I think what makes Rob Zombie interesting to me is John 5 because it's all these little flourishes and stuff. Like the album that I put that as, I think, as my top album is an album last year because of a lot to do with John 5's work. Like he just elevates the songs.
100%.
And adds these little things that otherwise would be just a basic zombie song, I think.
Rob Zombie, that was his only record that was any good since Hellbilly Deluxe.
Correct. It was basically, and was he on Hellbilly Deluxe
no,
or not?
No, he's actually been on a couple turds of Rob Zombie too, but he was given a little more input creatively in this last one. But he's an amazing guitar player, and I'm sure he can do Motley fine. I don't know. It does nothing for me. But I'm probably not the guy this is targeted at because like I didn't. I don't. I was against going to the Motley Crue Def Leppard show with free tickets and a ride. I was like, I don't know. It sounds like a lot of work.
You know, what's odd about it, though, is that this is the first time I'm hearing about this. Is this morning when you had it in the notes?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard this, the second part of this, you know, separation from zombie part. And honestly, I'm not that mad. If Mick, you know, can't go any further, and that would actually, I don't know why, but it kind of would interest me in seeing it. But it's still, I haven't wanted to see them live forever anyway because of Vince.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. I'm apathetic.
There you go. Apathetic, like
apathetic,
whatever.
There we go.
Yeah. It's like, okay, if that happens, it happens. It's somewhat of a refreshing thing. And I wouldn't be mad at it too, because I'm surprised that Mick's still fucking around. Like the fact that he's actually on stage and doing his thing.
Yeah. The weird thing is that, like, and I could be wrong. I don't know any of the inside baseball on this stuff, but I've always got the impression that, like, Mick looks forward to this shit.
I think he does.
And it seems like those guys have been looking for a reason to get him out of the band since Shout at the Devil.
Possibly.
Well, yeah, they approached Jakey Lee on the Ozzy tour about replacing him.
And he has the, and he's probably, it's probably the only thing that I would look forward to seeing, because I think he is playing live still. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing his thing. I think it's probably the only organic part about the show. Yeah. And now it's,
well,
it's,
Tommy,
it's maybe.
Oh, that's right. Depends. I forgot about that whole controversy. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God, that's just sad. Like, again, it all just gets back to why I probably don't care that much. Is John 5 the perfect fit? I don't know, man. He seems more of a, it's almost like putting Richie Kotzen in Poison. It as a guitar player, him joining the band, especially if you're not going to do any new music, who gives a fuck who you replace him with?
That's true. Because it's not like he's going to do the Tommy Thayer. I mean, he's. I don't think that he's going to add some of his John 5 magic to
Tommy
any of these.
Thayer, come on.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just going to play Mick Mars.
He's going to do the Tommy Thayer.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I thought you said it's not like he's going to do the Tommy Thayer thing.
Oh, no, he
literally
is going to
do the Tommy.
Well, if I said it wrong, that's what I meant to say.
I might have heard it wrong.
All he's going to do is do that and do a admirable job of it. But you could put anybody that's like a Mick Mars super fan, I guess, in there that knows the parts. Yeah.
Get who's the guy in Bon Jovi? Phil X. He's kind of a nice little fill-in guy.
There you go. Fill-in X.
Right. I always got the feeling that basically Mick never fit in with those guys on a personal level. Like, Tommy and Nicky always seem to enjoy hanging out with each other. And Vince just wanted to party and go get drunk and run into people with his car.
Sure.
But,
yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, hey, do you want to run over anybody with a car tonight? And Mick's like, no, I'm good.
Mick's like, no, I'm a troll. But I love him as a guitar player.
Exactly. No, hugely.
Has the personality of a pet rock, though.
I saw the dirt. He's got all the one line zingers.
Yeah, I think Mick probably really enjoyed his portrayal.
He's like spot on.
That's
perfect.
Exactly how I am. Yes, that's how he sees himself. But he's a lot like Ace Frehley that way. Hey, can we talk about the Ellefson and Mustaine thing real quick?
Please. Yeah. What's in with that?
Yeah, so Ellefson, you know, you brought this to my attention, oddly, but an article where basically, and I went and checked out the podcast and listened to the whole thing, but Ellefson's starting to clap back a little bit with, because now that Megadeth has a new record out, Dave's doing interviews, Dave's getting asked about the Junior, and so these comments are coming out, and they're not exactly, they're kind of backhanded compliment stuff. I'll always love him, but I can't have him in my band, that kind of, you know, those kind of things. And Ellefson's kind of clapping back a little bit, and I say good for him.
Mm-hmm. I think he's throwing some shade. I can't remember the exact quote, but it basically is kind of...
Well, he compared it to basically emotional abuse. He talked about how, like, when he left Megadeth in 2000, whatever, 2, 3, 4, somewhere, when Dave shut it all down for a while, that there was more collaboration when it came to working together in the studio. And then when he was brought back in... they worked on some ideas and then showed them to Dave Mustaine, and Mustaine pulled Ellefson into another room and kind of like dressed him down. And he says, okay, fine. If that's how you want to do things, that's how we'll do it. But he just basically said it was kind of like mental and emotional abuse working with him. on that kind of situation. But there is an article I saw this morning that came out too.
Ooh, no, this is the one it was. It had to do with the fact that currently Mustaine is starting to bring some things up about Metallica, and still
that's from, a new from, one, yeah.
Right, but Ellefson's comment on it was basically that I have worked things out where I am not mad at Dave anymore, and I don't bring him up for these specific things. But unfortunately, other people, the quote was basically that he was kicked out of Megadeth because he was repeating what happened to Dave, and Dave was having his revenge on him by kicking him out of Megadeth, just like he was kicked out of Metallica, and that he's never been able to work through that, and because of that, he turned into Super Alpha and is having his revenge on other people, and that's why they keep having the big turnover in Megadeth over all these years. That was the shade he threw on him.
Yeah, in an interview that I just read this morning, it's on something called Artists on Recording Starring Attica Live. He was being talked to, and they talked about that kind of the whole controversy and getting kicked out. And he said, and honestly, I was kind of like, hey, man, if you don't have my back, then fuck it. I don't want to be here anyway. I'd rather get moving on. And then he gets into promoting kind of his own kind of stuff. So that's a little more recent update on that. Now, he's not going scorched earth on this, but at least he's kind of sticking up for himself a little bit. I give him a little bit of props for not hiding from the whole scandal, as embarrassing as that was. I think he at least has addressed the comments. He didn't like deflect and turn it into a different topic. And, he basically, whether he was fully candid and all that stuff, but at least he realizes he's going to get asked about this stuff. These things are going to come up, and I think he's handling it. I think he'd be a good person to teach some musicians on how to handle the press. But yeah, you know what? He is entitled to his legacy and his work, and he should be able to take pride in that and move forward and have a career without having this asshole kind of wrangle him. And if he's going to keep spouting his shit, nothing wrong with clapping back a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think his help book should be How to Handle the O Face.
I'm going to LC this moment. I'd like to update my review on the latest Megadeth record.
Oh, good. Please.
I listened to it again, making Shill yesterday. You know what? Not too bad. Okay. I think it's a solid record beginning to end.
I can update mine also. I update mine, and that is that for patient number 9, here's my fourth update. is that since you opened this up,
it's my fault.
I just want to do a couple things here. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Here it is. I think this is Ozzy's best comedy album because of this quote at the 22nd mark gets me every time. Excuse me, could you tell me how to get out of here? Also, you have somebody stop me. He's also got I like worms. That's good.
This is why this record resonated with you, I think, because it's a
joke. Think so. And the end of Mr. Darkness, Mr. Darkness, when he goes, you don't even know my name, you asshole. All these ad libs. Classic Ozzy. All right, man, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, man. This has been a good time.
Rock's not dead.
But his laptop was stolen.
Excuse me, could you tell me how to get out of here?
Come on. Monty Python shows up. Fucking great album. That's my review.
You're a big Monty Python fan?
I am, yes.
That's surprising.
Dead bird, dead parrot. Fucking kills every time.
The movies are great. TV show is pretty much blah.
No, I don't think I've watched a single episode start. I just know the hits. I just know the hits, like the ones they all show you, you know?
You're seeing more of a Benny Hill guy.
Definitely Benny Hill. I just like that because I was
Yackety
like, damn,
there's sacks,
a lot of,
baby.
A lot of hot ladies on that show from back in the day. I was like, wow. That was good. The English.
Were they that hot?
I just remember it being that way. Mm. Again, they had that little old man. He was kind of peculiar. Come on. There you go. That part where they would just run around. It was like the monkeys, but
that's old. Yackety sax.
Yackety sack?
Yackety sax. Sack, like saxophone.
Okay. I don't know. We're going to end with yackety sax?
You're editing this one, so surprise me.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
It never dawned on me how much walking I used to do until I bought a house in the suburbs. Like when I'd say, I'm going for coffee, of course I was walking, but now it's like 3 miles and no latte's worth that. I find myself inviting people on walks with me like it's a scheduled activity. This morning, my neighbor asked me what I'm doing and I actually said, I'm going for a walk with Nancy.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.